This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. After pleading not guilty to 37 federal charges in connection with classified documents, former President Trump tells a crowd of supporters at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club.
This is called election interference and yet another attempt to rig and steal a presidential election. More importantly, it's a political persecution like something straight out of a fascist or a communist nation.
Former President Trump does not have to surrender his passport, and there will be no restrictions on his travel after he was arraigned in Miami today. More from WFOR-TV's Chelsea Jones.
We love Trump! We love Trump!
Supporters and protesters brought their opinions of the case.
This whole country has been brainwashed.
Sad day in America.
Well, this is one of several investigations into Trump. This is the first time the Justice Department has brought charges against a former president.
Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson on what's ahead for Trump's legal team.
The next thing that will happen in the process will likely be discovery, where the federal prosecutors will turn over to Donald Trump and his team the volume of information they've collected in this investigation. And that could take quite a while.
The Labor Department reports that the consumer price index grew at an annual rate of 4%. CBS's Carter Evans says that's the slowest in 2 years.
Now, all eyes will be on the Federal Reserve for the latest interest rate decision. After 10 increases, analysts now expect central bankers to pause rate hikes at least for a month or so. And that's really good news for anyone looking to borrow money.
CBS's Jim Krasula has the latest on a shooting during the celebration last night of the NBA championship in Denver.
The shooting left 10 people wounded, including one of the suspected shooters, both of whom are in custody. Police say most of those shot were bystanders not involved in the drug deal.
Auto safety advocates say that as larger, heavier electric vehicles get on the road, the extra weight from the batteries could be a danger to drivers and other cars during a crash. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
In a statement, the trade group representing the auto industry says safety is a top priority, adding automakers continue to test, develop, and integrate breakthrough safety technologies like automatic emergency braking that help save lives and prevent injuries.
In an ongoing fight over inclusion and diversity programs, the University of Wisconsin system wants to pay for more diversity programs on campus. But Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the state's top Republican, says he wants to cut all spending on diversity initiatives in the university's budget. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Todd Allbush Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar. The Eagles soar and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stephen Hopkins, more at 30bales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Katagita, all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they are, and yes, they do. Hey, we're going to have our Arvina Martin on, and also Ruth Buffalo checking in, and she was in the Not Invisible Act Commission hearing here in the Twin Cities, and I saw Arvina, and I was the MC of the Wisconsin Democratic Convention this past weekend, and she was there as a former city council member, first Native city council member in Madison's history. And we'll be talking about, the convention. I've never, Haley, I've never done that before where I'm an announcer and I had to really work on names and, you know how I am like being on the show. I destroy a few names here and there.
I know. You should have had me as your wing woman.
Yeah. Well, next time, if they invite me again, they offered me a place to put a booth. And now I kind of understand how or why, you know, we could just hand it out information. So next year, if they invite me back, I didn't miss anybody's name. And I was telling Wendy, you know, there's over 40 names I have to say. And she's like, oh, boy.
That's a lot. It is a lot, but I'm sure you did great, Dega.
Well, there were a few really, really easy names, but there were also, you know, in Wisconsin, there's a lot of big Polish group there that are politicians, and I was, you know, on the verge of destroying their names, but I didn't because I practiced and I was prepared.
There you go. Practice makes perfect.
Well, you know, today we have Ruth Buffalo on, and I'm wondering, I do see Ruth there, and Ruth, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I really appreciate you stopping in.
Hi, yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you barely.
Okay. Apologies, but yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, you were in town, Ruth, for the Not Invisible Act Commission hearing, and I was wanted to get a little update about that, Ruth.
Yeah, we are doing field hearings across the country, and yep, we were recently at the downtown Hilton in Minneapolis for a few days of field hearings, and we usually start the format of the hearings is we'll open up with panels. In the morning, panels of, they call them expert witnesses. So we had law enforcement and state's attorney's office and also state legislators and law enforcement from the different jurisdictions provide their expertise, and we're able to take questions. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan also attended and in person and offered opening remarks. Secretary Deb Haaland was able to provide comments remotely. And so, yeah, it's a full day in the morning filled with panels. And then in the afternoon, there's no media allowed. And then it's more closed session for, still open to the public for public testimony.
Yeah, that's a really powerful, and I think, you know, we talk about it and dance around it here on Native Roots Radio that, you know, we're still here, and that's part of not being invisible in what you guys are talking about. And I know, Ruth, we've talked over the years about the MMIWR situation with our relatives missing, and there isn't a day that doesn't go by that a missing Native American comes across my Facebook, and it's still happening. Oops, Ruth, you're muted. There you go. Sorry, Ruth. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a mandated. How did Deb Haaland, Secretary Deb Haaland, refer to the Not Invisible Act Commission as a legally mandated body? When she was in Congress, she introduced this piece of legislation that is, you know, at the federal level, there were it was bipartisan support from all of the four Native members of Congress at the time. And so we are charged with providing a report full of recommendations that will go to the Department of Justice, Department of Interior, and Congress, and that is due this fall and will be unveiled during the Tribal Leaders Summit at the White House, I believe November, December. So this week, the members of the Not Invisible Act Commission are out in Northern California at Blue Lake receiving public testimony. We'll be headed to Albuquerque the last week of June to hear from the communities, and we'll be at Crown Plaza in Albuquerque for, I believe, 3 days of hearings starting June 28th, which will be closed to the media, and then 29th and 30th. So,
Well, Ruth, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. Sorry about that. Yeah, and at the end of July, we will be in Billings. That will be our final field hearing. And then in August, we will have a online virtual hearing for community members who weren't able to attend any of these on-site locations. But from the mid-April in Tulsa to end of April in Alaska to Flagstaff in mid-May. And then we were just in Minneapolis last week. End of June, we'll be in Albuquerque. And then the end of July, we'll be in Billings. And then virtual hearing in August. But in between, we do meet via Zoom with each of our respective subcommittees. So I was just coming from a subcommittee meeting this afternoon. But yeah, so it's a big responsibility and that we don't take lightly. And we're hoping to really hear from the people in the communities directly impacted.
Yeah, we're talking with Ruth Buffalo, former North Dakota state representative. And Ruth, I know as a representative, you were really busy, but it seems like you're really more busy now. I don't know. You got a lot of fires in the iron, and this is so, so important. And I know we talk about, you know, our missing relatives so much here on Native Roots Radio. And there's just stories that come up. I think we talked about years ago that I heard the story about up north in Duluth, where they have all those shipping boats of so many natives disappearing and never being seen again. And that just blew me away because I had no idea, being an urban Indian and living here in the Twin Cities.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of bad actors out there. So we're really pushing for accountability. And so in these subcommittee hearings, you know, we are a part of a broad coalition, I guess you could say, you know, with law enforcement. And so we're learning the struggles that law enforcement has, and then we're looking at the challenges across the different jurisdictions. And, you know, we are unfortunately in the day and age where drug use and abuse is prevalent, and there are a lot of bad actors in that arena as well that are impacting our relatives who are dying young due to drugs, and bad actors are walking free and who are, you know, basically drugging up our relatives, and then they get to walk free when our relatives die from overdoses. And so we're seeing this play out in real time, unfortunately, across the different jurisdictions, which is really, really unfortunate.
Ruth, thank you so much for stopping by with your busy schedule. Our audience really always loves when you're on. This is Ruth Buffalo, former North Dakota state representative and our friend always. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you soon.
On Saturday, June 17th, Metro Transit is making changes to transit service within your community. As they do each quarter, they review and analyze their resources and ridership trends. These service adjustments to routes continue Metro Transit's ongoing work to best serve customers throughout their system with their given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. That's metrotransit.org.
Get ready for the best and biggest fireworks selection at Fireworks City in Baldwin, Wisconsin. And now, they have exciting news. Free stuff is back with a $200 or more purchase. But that's not all. They're bringing back their incredible Get 3 for 1 low price deal on all multi-shot cakes. Stock up on these incredible multi-shot cakes and get 3 for the price of 1. At Fireworks City, we're your one-stop shop for all your firework needs. Located just 25 minutes from St. Paul, it's worth a short drive on I-94 to exit 19. And here's the best part. Buy one, get one for 99 cents on every firework. Don't just take their word for it. See all the fireworks in action on one of their many TVs. Experience the excitement firsthand and make an informed choice. Bring your family and friends and head over to Fireworks City in Baldwin, Wisconsin. Exit 19 off Interstate 94. Fireworks City guarantees a fun and family-friendly atmosphere. The best deal on fireworks is waiting for you. Buy one, get one for 99 cents.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
This is Leonard Peltz here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, it's always good to have Ruth on, Haley. It really, she's so busy, and it's great to have her stop in and give us these updates. It's amazing what she's done and what she does. So we really are grateful to have her on. You know, it's interesting today's Trump indictment day, and we look forward to that here on Native Roots Radio. Donald Trump being the first former president to face a judge on federal charges, you know, and he pleaded not guilty in a Miami court today, and to dozens of felony counts. And, you know, Haley, you know, he's had, I think, 37 counts against him.
I was just going to say it was like a ridiculous amount of
Well, he's the 45th president, so guess how many How many presidents have any of those against them? Any of those counts?
I don't think there is another president that had federal charges.
None.
None.
He's the only one.
Yeah, so, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad. And the way things are lining up now, he still could be running for president and making a mockery of a bunch of things. And he won't see any jail time probably, but the courts aren't starting until later. So that's disappointing unless they speed up the courts and convict him.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, that we're living in these times just blows my mind. And, you know, it's funny, after he left the court, he went to a restaurant so he could get his ego filled with all these people that love him in Miami. And what a trip. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it's unbelievable, too, that he got 70 million votes, too. So there's a lot of neighbors living around you and me that voted for him.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate when you do tally up the statistics of people who actually did vote for this guy. It's scary to leave, you know, knowing that there are so many of our neighbors who support the stuff that he supports. It is scary.
I want to just add up here. We were talking about a lot of not being invisible act commission hearing with our MMIW stuff. I see a listener, Mike, put up in Los Angeles being a hub of human trafficking and the end destination for a lot of natives on the run for their from their home should be a stop to speak to the native community about this situation. It's rampant, but you know, us being Midwesterners, that's we appreciate Mike bringing that up, because that makes a lot of sense. And I remember in the 70s and 80s, we had a lot of, just for instance, a lot of runaways from Minnesota ended up in California and Las Vegas. And that makes sense, what Mike was saying. And
yeah, and I think we were talking about kind of like the native homelessness or houselessness situation. Was that with Dr. Stately, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When he went out to, he lived out there, right? When he was going to school or something. Yep. And he was talking about houselessness of natives out there. And I've been to California, Los Angeles, like a handful of times, and never really, I knew about the homeless situation and how big of a deal it was, but it never really crossed my mind, I guess, how many natives were a part of that.
But. And as you know, Haley, too, we haven't been homeless. We were never homeless before 1492. And that's kind of a saying in the Native community, but it's also a truism, too, because we took care of our own and we helped each other. And and, you know, we've tried that a few years ago. Of course, we always talked to Robert Lilligren about the Wall of Forgotten Natives and how sad that was and is, but still Minneapolis and St. Paul still have homeless population, and the population is a big Native American amount of people that are homeless and that are in these encampments that are all around the Twin Cities. And, you know, there's drug addiction, and mental illness. Go ahead, Haley.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and it shouldn't be like that, you know, because...
Right.
It is, you know, our land, and we belong here, and we should have a safe place to call home.
You know, and then we spider web it out to a lot of a drug addiction that we have, alcoholism, and a lot of the trauma that's caused us over the last few generations and at least the last 400 years. But, you know, I can't imagine here sitting in my house broadcasting this and going through what our relatives had to go through, whether it was removal, whether it was a battle with the colonizers. I just can't imagine it. And then we're still here, which is just a huge win for us that we're just even here, because we're going to be wiped out totally.
Yeah. Well, I think it proves our resilience and our strength and our warrior spirit.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, I might want to pull our guest in here. I wonder if she's ready, because I love talking to this young lady. I wonder, is it, she can come on. Sweet.
Hi, Arvina.
Good to see. Wow, cool glasses. What the heck?
They're beating glasses.
I love them.
So I can thread my needle.
Right on. Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, and she's with Emerge Wisconsin, but also first former city council member of Madison, Wisconsin, which I love Madison. And I had the opportunity to see you in action this weekend. And I don't know if you caught it, but I didn't mispronounce anybody's name when I was emceeing. So I'm really happy and kind of floating on cloud nine, because if you've listened to our show much, I destroy names and take no prisoners. And so I did good.
Yeah, just coming off of a convention weekend, had to take the day off because, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of peopling and a lot of talking and a lot of standing and running back and forth. And, you know, I always end up having to take that Monday off because I'm really tired.
Well, the first day I saw you, you were wearing kind of a lime green ensemble, and then you had a Baby Yoda medallion.
Yes. Yes. I the Baby Yoda medallion was courtesy of the talents of Callie Logan, who is Ho-Chunk. And I'm going to get this wrong, but I think he's from Wittenberg. But he's a member of the Little Priest Singers, and somebody saw it posted on Facebook and tagged me in it, and I was immediately like, yes, I need this.
Yeah. Wow. Little Priest Singers. That's cool. I don't know if you could share. We only have like 2 minutes left in this segment, but share maybe the Little Priest story, because I know the story that I know about him before he passed on was a pretty intense story.
I bet you know more about it than I do, because I just know about it as the name of the drum as well as the school in Nebraska.
Well, he was injured in a battle, and very badly injured, and he was many, many miles away from home, and he said he did not want to die until he was on his own land, and basically that's what happened, to make the story very long, very short. And it took days and days for him to be returned to home before he passed on. And in the true warrior spirit, he did what he wanted to do at the end.
Well, I remember reading an article in the Wisconsin State Journal years back that was a story about how Ho-Chunk's resisted being removed, and I believe the title of the headline of the article was Ho-Chunk stubbornness .. they survived because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like another instance of our sort of stubbornness, and I say stubbornness in a good way. And it definitely contributed to our survival and our ability to thrive that we've been, and our resilience and all of it, you know.
Well, I love it. I've heard a podcast a few years ago from the University of Wisconsin-Madison by some professors, history professors, and they were talking about the removal of Ho-Chunk, and they were two white guys, but it was really funny how they're talking about, they'd be sent out and then surprise, they'd be back, you know. And there was a few people that they mentioned by name that went back and forth about 10 times. So that's an interesting.
They kept having military guys stay with us and say, you stay until you're sure that they're going to stay there. And sure enough, like a year later, he went back and we were already there by the time he came back.
Well, cool. Hey, we're going to have a deep discussion. We'll talk a little bit about the convention, and We're here with Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Hours after his lawyer entered a not guilty plea on his behalf to 37 federal charges in the classified documents case, a defiant former President Trump goes after President Biden. He tells a crowd at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club.
First sad thing to watch, a corrupt sitting president had his top political opponent arrested on fake and fabricated charges of which he and numerous other presidents would be guilty.
After court, Trump met with supporters at a Cuban-American restaurant in Miami. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson points out that in court today,
the special prosecutor himself, Jack Smith, was there. And that is a bit unusual for just the arraignment proceeding. But I think he was sending the message that he supports his team and they're taking this case very seriously.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's The Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Gathering spot for anyone looking for a taste of the Midwest. Whether you're stopping by for a quick drink or settling in for a leisurely meal, you'll find plenty to love at 30 Bales. Located at 1106 Main Street in Hopkins or at 30bales.com.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. And we really appreciate their support and all the great work that they do, you know, making voting a tradition and all those great things. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin. And Arvina, before we get deep into the talking about the Wisconsin Democratic Convention that I was blessed to be there, it's arraignment day. And I wonder if you have any feeling on that, because I know I'm ecstatic and I just think that we need to put this guy away or stop him running or I don't know, but I'm very happy. What are your feelings?
I mean, the rule of law applies to everybody. And I think that we should be able to hold our leaders to even a higher account or a higher standard than just follow the law. And, you know, the whole, you know, while other people have classified documents, I mean, I think that reasonable people can agree that somebody accidentally taking some reasonable documents that are classified are not the same as someone who is actually, you know, actively trying to take documents with some of our nation's most sensitive nuclear secrets or secrets regarding our military, et cetera. I don't understand why anybody would want any former leader to have these. You know, I know that I wouldn't be happy if I found out that any Democratic leader had taken top secret military secret documents, you know, nuclear secrets, and I would absolutely be very unhappy to hear that. And so it's not a partisan thing, but I yikes. Yeah. All I can say is yikes.
It's a great point. And then I hear a lot of the Republican talking points out there like, well, Hillary, and it's just like, oh, my God, you guys spent $45 million trying to convict her three times and found nothing. And now they're making up stuff with she had the hammer to her server and the hard drives. And it's like, oh, my God.
I think the thing that amuses me and also annoys me the most is Speaker Kevin McCarthy saying, oh, well, it was in his bathroom, so that means the door locks. Yeah. Like, what? Also, the bathroom door is only locked from the inside. You know, it just why these people that are supposedly like serious leaders are putting their necks out for this guy who is absolutely unserious is. I mean, bonkers? Is that an appropriate word? It's bonkers. I wouldn't. Yikes.
I know. And Ron Johnson, who I hate to say but he was originally from Minnesota. I think he was born here. And I don't want to, you know, really bring that up too many times. But I'm sure you heard that. And it's just like, are you kidding me? His quote today, I don't even know if you heard it. I'm not even going to mention it if you didn't hear it, but it was like from outer space.
But I also realize that Ron Johnson is, let's just say, less than intellectually curious about things. And so it doesn't surprise me that he is ready to support this kind of nonsense that makes us all less safe as Americans. Like, I don't, like, come on. It's scary.
Well, you're supposed to be supporting the police and the military. And yet, you know, if you're giving out these secret documents to foreign countries, you're not helping our military at all.
Yeah. No, not at all. No.
And Mike says the entire world is laughing at us Americans right now. And I agree. It's unbelievable. I had a relative that was a Trumper that was in England. And this was when he was president. And the English bartender was just like laughing at her. And she got upset and left, you know, because that's her president. And it's just like, but that's the way people feel about us. And you know... go ahead.
I was actually going to say, I had, when he first got elected, I was playing at Roller Derby World Cup in Manchester, England, representing Team Greece because my mom's dad was from Greece. And
Wait a minute. You were in the roller derby?
Oh, I still play roller derby. I'm coming off of a broken foot that I broke the day before Election Day.
That's awesome. Well, we'll have to talk about that one show, the whole
Absolutely. But I remember being in the UK, and it was right around when he gave his first Trump gave his first State of the Union address. And I was like, this was the first State of the Union address that I had not listened to in over a decade. And I remember being really happy that I missed it, but that there were people in the UK being like, oh, you're from the US. I was like, I worked for Hillary. I worked to get her elected. I promise I'm not one of those. And they're like, okay. And kind of gave me a pat on the shoulder and saying, we understand, you know, I think that was, I think that they were also dealing with their own kind of conservative, know, leadership at the time. So they understood. But at the same time, I felt very defensive and being like, I worked against him. I promise I did. Can show you my pay stub.
That old prime minister looked like he combed his hair with a firecracker. I don't know what the heck that was all about.
Boris Johnson. Yeah. His hair was not his, his hairstyling was not his strong suit.
Right. Wow. Well. That was an amazing time. And, you know, we all should be wearing T-shirts, and especially that Hillary was right. And she called it all in that one debate they had. Everything that she said came true, which is cool. And also Hillary won the vote number two. She lost an electoral college, but she won in the popular vote.
Yep. Don't get me started, because I'll probably start having feelings and being really upset, because it was a really rough time. Yeah. For those of us that believe in democracy and we're hopefully getting ready to elect our first woman president, it was just a really rough time, you know.
Definitely.
But sometimes those happen in politics, and, you know, you have to roll with them.
Well, speaking of politics, I know you're still kind of looking for Ron Johnson's unbelievable quote, but I want to talk a little bit about the protocols of working with tribes and how that, I guess they would call it a little symposium that you did with a packed room this weekend. And I learned some things, too, and I was taking pictures of your PowerPoint. Not that I was going to steal them, but just to know the knowledge that you had out there. Great job, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. And also, it's public knowledge. So share it, share what you need. And I mean, the more that gets out to people that want to organize in Indian country, I think is, you know, I'm not proprietary about it. I just want people to know how to act and know how to reach out appropriately to Indian country in whatever shape or form it is, whether it's, you know, res folks, whether it's urban Indian communities, whether it's you know, student groups, the like, you know, there's different ways, and you know, it's important for people to understand that the way that you organize politically and try to work for a candidate with the majority culture, it's not necessarily the same as doing the same kind of work within Indian country, within Native communities. And, you know, starting off by describing and talking about what sovereignty is and what it's supposed to be, and what tribal sovereignty is then supposed to be. And then, you know, showing everybody, well, this is how it actually works. And, you know, having to continually ask, does this sound like the definition of sovereignty that we discussed earlier? No. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that even just that kind of information makes people think again. And I gave the presentation three times this weekend during our Wisconsin Democratic convention. So, you know, I'm really grateful that the party recognize the importance of this kind of presentation and the importance of the information and that every, you know, party leader, whether they're a county party leader, a congressional district chair, if they're elected to office, whether it's local or state or even higher, you know, that information is crucial to understanding how tribes operate and why Indian people, I don't want to say are the way that we are, but the way that we react to things and react to efforts, react to campaigners coming into our communities. So, you know, yes, I'm seeing this comment from Mike Diaz saying this is being tried in the court over ICWA. The number one question is about sovereignty. And yes, that was the first main point that I wanted to make was that tribal sovereignty is not any different than any other kind of sovereignty, and that that federal Indian law is very it doesn't follow the rules that we normally think of or follow our supposed American ideals when it comes to, you know, self-determination, et cetera, in order to keep tribes subordinate to them. So,
yeah. And I always like, you know, when you're dealing with tribes, just to have our white allies remember, and all our allies remember, that Custard had scouts. So you got to watch who you're talking to and know who you're talking to, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and with our Arvina Martin, another Ho-Chunk, Ho-Wa, and we are talking about a lot of things, but we're also talking a little bit about what happened this weekend and at the Wisconsin Democratic Convention and the great job that she did. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
On Saturday, June 17th, Metro Transit is making changes to transit service within your community. As they do each quarter, they review and analyze their resources and ridership trends. These service adjustments to routes continue Metro Transit's ongoing work to best serve customers throughout their system with their given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. That's metrotransit.org.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Our guest didn't howl. I only heard
two howls. Come on, Arvina.
Jeez.
I'm not Wolf Clan.
Good answer. Neither am I. I'm Eagle Clan.
Next time.
We fly over you. We fly over you. I'm Eagle Clan. I don't know if you see the visual. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, and we're talking a little bit about the Wisconsin Democratic Convention. And I just have to say, there was a special guest that was the last speaker, and I'm not always a huge fan because I'm super progressive, but she kind of knocked it out of the park, I think, with her speech. Were you there for that?
No, unfortunately, I... sounds so nerdy. I got overheated and had to go back to my hotel room and jack the AC up real high so I could not have a fever or something. So I missed the entire evening program.
Oh, well, and then you missed the fact that I didn't mispronounce people's names, which I'm still like glowing about here.
As you should be. As you should be. It's a big achievement.
Yeah, definitely. So what else? Let's talk. Why don't we talk a little bit in this last segment here, a little bit about the Emerge Wisconsin. And I think it's something that every time you're on, we should definitely talk about at least a few minutes about and what's going on next and what's happening.
Yeah. So for those who might not know, Emerge Wisconsin is a program that trains Democratic women to run for office. We have affiliates in multiple states. So it's not just a Wisconsin specific program, but that's the program that I run. We also invite non-binary folks who are comfortable in female-centered spaces to apply and participate in our program. So we are trying to be as progressive regarding gender as we can while sticking to our main mission. We are currently in the middle of training our class of 2023. Actually, not this weekend, but the weekend after, the last weekend in June, we have our last training weekend, and then we'll be having our class of 2023 graduation, which is really exciting. It'll be my first class graduating, and you know, I am committed to reaching out to areas that we don't normally see a lot of Democrats running for office, and finding these talented women and non-binary folks to who are interested, and getting them trained so they feel confident and know that they have the skills, not just the skills, but the connections as well to other amazing leaders that they can ask questions of, that they can ask to be serve as mentors. It's really a fabulous program. I participated and graduated from the program in 2014. So, and it really changed my life and my career path. So, I'm so honored to be able to lead this organization into the future. And I one of my big goals is to increase the number of Native women and Native non-binary folks, Two-Spirit people, that we can get to participate in our program, because I very, very, very firmly believe that if we want to get more Democratic, more progressive elected leaders in kind of the Northwoods area, going to tribal members is going to be the easiest way to do it. You know, we have so many talented folks that are ready to and just need either to be asked, but also to be trained. And, you know, I want to see more Native folks on school boards, on city councils, on county boards, you know, so that we can build our bench and hopefully, you know, in the next few years, get our first Native state legislative candidate elected to office, get our first Native statewide candidate elected to office, get our first Native Congress member. You know, we had Trisha Zunker, who ran for office a couple cycles ago. We don't need just one candidate, you know, let's get candidates in all races and let's get our Native people out there to support them so we can, you know, help protect our values and protect the things that are important to us, and also share our perspectives in these spaces that have ignored our perspectives for so long, you know, like basically the entire history of this country, our perspectives have been ignored, and it is beyond time for our tribal members to be part of this conversation as stakeholders, as voting members of local bodies, state bodies, and federal bodies. It's just, it's about time, and we can do it.
You can. And I wonder, would it be a kind of a plan or a strategic plan in a way to really market this into a place like Black River Falls, where we do have a nice sized community of Native Americans, and start with the school board and go with a state senator and so on?
Oh, absolutely. I think that any community that is near or on tribal land, you know, we should be looking for candidates from our communities to represent, you know, our represent us on these mm-hmm. bodies. You know, there's so many times that we think about, you know, outside government as being not for us. And because honestly, they haven't been for us. But as soon as you put us on these bodies, then we are able to center the conversation and policy initiatives that are important to us. We can have people in local and state and federal government who understand how to work with our tribal governments. Why would we not want this to happen? I think that it's only positive to have our impact. I also always talk about how we have, you know, everybody has their blind spots. We all have them. And that's absolutely human and totally fine. And if we have legislative bodies that only have one experience or very limited experiences, these blind spots are huge. So mm-hmm. when we get people with different experiences, you know, we're able to make those blind spots smaller. And we're right. able to create policy that represents and helps more people than if everybody on the body has, you know, the same experience and the same, you know, ideas of what needs to happen. I mean, just think about what happened during the pandemic and the number of women legislators at the federal level who were like, hey, we need to support, we need money to support childcare. Yeah. That's going to be a huge thing. And all of these, you know, older men were like, surprise Pikachu face. Like, why would that matter? Oh, because that's where their blind spots are. Right.
And part of your job, I imagine, is to educate. And that's kind of why we have this show here, because I know there's a lot of education going on here in Minnesota with our four representatives and lieutenant governor and moving the needle over with educating our allies, because even our allies don't know things about us or how to deal with us.
Oh, absolutely. And our allies are dying to know. They want to know, and they want to learn. So that's one of the reasons why I really worked hard to create this kind of Tribes 101 presentation that we could give at the state convention, because I know there's a market, there's the market there that people want to know, you know, what is tribal sovereignty? What are you talking about when you talk about protecting wolves or, you know, the Brackeen case with ICWA? And this is how we begin to teach them. So
thank you so much for coming on. It's always a great, great conversation, and you have so much knowledge, and it's always good to have three Ho-Chunks on the station, even though Ruth Buffalo was on earlier.
We can call her an honorary Ho-Chunk, right?
Right on. Hey, exactly. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.